Hear the word of the Lord beginning in Mark 11:11. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came to Bethany, or from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he'd find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers"? And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning asking us that you keep showing us the way, that you keep increasing our faith, and that you draw us nearer to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not that Jesus does bad things, but on occasion, Jesus gets the attention of those who have grown lazy in their faith, not to mention completely off track by turning the tables. And on one particular occasion, semi-killing a tree. This is not all love and grace. I get it. I want to go to the Bible, and I want to come to church on Sunday, and I want to hear, "Isn't Jesus wonderful? Don't y'all all love each other? Let's go eat lunch." I get that. I just kind of caught the tail end of fire and brimstone preaching and all that mess. I don't want to go back to that. But there is a time when reading the stories of Jesus to say, no, there is a time to say, this is about some correction. This is about challenging. This has something to do with Jesus coming and saying, are the norms of your life what they need to be? This encounter with the fig tree is the last miracle Jesus performs in Mark. Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus was the next to last miracle. So you've got this really, really positive miracle, and if you'll pardon the language, a really negative miracle. These are the last two miracles in Mark, and then the story keeps going. And I wonder in Mark 11, is Mark trying to tell us something? Is Mark somehow, some way, trying to get us to see some things that are happening in all of these stories right after the triumphal entry? Because did you notice, if you've read all of Mark 11 from start to finish, did you notice one of the rhythms of the story? Jesus goes into Jerusalem, then Jesus leaves Jerusalem. And he goes back into Jerusalem. And then they leave. They go in, and then they go out. They go into this physical place, this physical temple, and then they leave. And I wonder, is Mark trying to tell us something, even with the rhythm of this story? Okay, so we can keep going on that, but I know what's on everybody's mind. What's with the fig tree? What in the world is going on with this fig tree? Well, think in terms of the ancient law and its blessings and curses, which is kind of leading, you know, the listeners to this story. What do you mean? Well, you think back to the ancient law. The ancient law had blessings. The ancient law had curses. You go back and you read the book of Deuteronomy, you know, sort of this second telling of the law, trying to simplify it for the people. What's going on? And the law says, look, you follow God this way, and here are the blessings. You don't follow God this way, and here are the curses. You know, we don't like to think in those terms anymore, and thanks be to God, we are at a different time because of Jesus. But what's going on in Mark 11 here in Jerusalem is probably tied to this sort of ancient way of dealing with God. It has something to do with here are blessings and here are curses. And Mark quotes Peter there at the end, I think for a very specific reason. The fig tree that you cursed has withered. We don't like to think of Jesus going around cursing anything, much less this fig tree that was just standing there minding its own business. The world is going on. Well, I don't know, maybe it's a symbol of something. But like the priests at the temple later in this story, because you know we're going to read the rest of the story later on, and maybe their answer to the whole fig tree story is the best one in all of Mark 11. Because if you've read this story, you know that whenever Jesus and the scribes have their conversation, you know what they wind up saying? If we quote the scribes, you know what their line is? We don't know. Jesus and the scribes are having the conversation, and finally the scribes just, okay, we don't know. That's not a bad approach to this story. Same with trashing the place outside the temple. Because if you're wondering about the fig tree, you have to wonder about that one too, because this is another Markan sandwich. You remember that technical scholarly term, Markan sandwich? Mark tells one story, and then he tells the rest of the story, but right in the middle, he inserts another one. Well, he does that with this, with the fig tree and the temple. They're inseparable. They are not to be read apart from one another in Mark. They're directly interconnected. You have the fig tree, you know, Jesus goes, sees it, doing what's what. They go on. Jesus, you know, I know that we picture Jesus trashing the place, but the text doesn't really indicate that. The text says he overturns some tables. And I know that because of the movies, there's all this kicking and screaming and throwing things up in the air. Maybe. We don't know. Whatever's going on here, though, is that he sees something physical, and he says, oh, there's more to this story than that. And then they return to the fig tree, and there's all kinds of stuff we're supposed to do with this story. But ultimately in all this, Jesus in the last half of Mark is becoming obvious to us that this is the Son of God. And that's what's really going on in these stories. We start wondering about fig trees and temples and money changers and doves. We get it. But ultimately what we walk away from this story knowing is Jesus can be depended upon. The temple is torn down, raised again in 3 days. You've heard that before, right? Jesus saying that sort of thing. Temple's going to be torn down, raised in 3 days. And what's the people's immediate response when he says that? Jesus says, temple torn down, raised in 3 days. And not only in Mark, in all the other Gospels, What's the people's response? Well, you know how long it took us to build that temple? And you think you're going to tear it down in 3 days and then rebuild it? This is where dramatic irony comes into a story. Because we, as the listeners to this story, are supposed to sit here with a little bit of dramatic irony arrogance. And this is one of the times where arrogance is okay, especially at church. It's okay. It's okay to look at it and go, those silly disciples. Or, oh, those people in the first century. Had only they known. People always say, I want to go back to the first century and walk with Jesus. I don't. I like having the perspective of the whole Gospel of Mark and being able to see the whole story. Because in the whole story, they're saying physical temple. But the last half of Mark is coaching us. It's coaching us along the way to say, no. If you read these stories and all you're talking about is physical fig trees and physical temples, you've missed the point of Mark. Because Mark is kind of taking us by the hand in all these stories and saying, this is about something more. This is about Jesus. There is a time to tear down. There is a time to build up. But at the end of Mark, Jesus becomes the center of our lives as we follow Jesus. And then, you know how Cynthia a moment ago read the whole thing from 1 Corinthians 6? All this business about the foolishness of God is stronger than anything we think of as grand philosophy. Take the strongest that we can muster. Doesn't even compare to God's weakness. But then a little bit earlier in that text in 1 Corinthians 1, this group of people goes around looking for these things. This group of people goes around looking for this, but we preach Christ crucified. And then fast forward, right after Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians 1. This is a throwback to last year when we were in 1 Corinthians. Because in 1 Corinthians 6, we hear echoes of it even as we rewind and read this story in Mark. You ready? We are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. This is who we are. So fig trees, yeah, it's a peculiar story. Don't overthink it. This is not about fig trees ultimately. This is about something more. Physical temples, okay. They're at the physical temple. Jesus is doing whatever Jesus is doing for whatever reason. But this is about more than physical tables, doves, money changers. Mark is saying, no, there's something more to this. And I wonder, do you ever wonder? I don't know if you sit around and think about these kinds of things, but I've been wondering all week, how long after all these events, after in Mark 11, Jesus goes into Jerusalem and then goes out. Goes in and goes out. And Mark is trying to tell us something. And what Mark is trying to tell us is, you can go to Jerusalem all day long. You can go to the physical temple all day long. But what happens in Mark 11? They all leave. And maybe what Mark is trying to tell us is, it's time to leave Jerusalem. It's time to leave the physical temple. Go follow Jesus. Because you know where Jesus goes? Outside Jerusalem. He keeps leaving the place, and we're supposed to go follow Jesus, which is what Mark is about all along. But I wonder, this is the kind of thing I wonder about, after all these events take place, how long did it take until the people went right back to focusing on things again instead of people? Issues. Instead of people. Physical temples. Instead of our hearts open for Jesus. On law instead of forgiveness. On sacrifice instead of mercy. we just sat with blind Bartimaeus in Jericho. It's only been a week. And we just stood with the people in the way and shouted, "Hosanna in the highest, the Lord who saves." But then Mark seems to go out of his way in this masterful story to show us Jesus' humanity, and probably even our own as well. We've been healed, we've been given sight, we've praised the Lord, but remember, you are human. We're walking with Jesus yet again, because this is Mark after all. And in Mark, everybody's walking everywhere. So yet again, we're walking with Jesus. And one of the first things that Mark tells us in this story as we're walking with Jesus, right at the beginning of where we read, did you notice it? We're walking with Jesus and we're expecting Him to say something profound, do something amazing, heal somebody, you know, bring somebody back from the dead. And what does Mark tell us? Jesus is hungry. What do you mean Jesus is hungry? What does that have to do with anything? Shouldn't He be healing blind people and getting ready to be raised from the dead? Why are you going out of your way to tell us He's hungry? Same reason Mark tells us anything in this story. It's because it has meaning. There's something going on in this story where Jesus is bearing our humanity. And even as Jesus is saying all these physical things, it's time to focus on more spiritual things, but all the while, Jesus is hungry. This is Mark's way of comforting us. That even when we're supposed to be focusing on all these spiritual things, guess what? You're still going to get hungry. You're still going to have to deal with this physical stuff. It's not going anywhere. I don't know, are you hungry? I'm hungry. I mean, right now, I'm standing here in front of you beautiful people, and my stomach's growling. You can't hear it because I've got the microphone up high on my chest, but I had it a little bit lower. You could probably hear it. I'm getting kind of hungry. And I don't know if moments like that are just the natural order of things reminding us, what are you really hungry for? What do we really hunger for? Because, I mean, we'll go eat lunch here in a little while. Later in the day, you're going to get hungry again. What are we hungry for? Are you hungry for physical things? Are you hungry in the same way for the ways of Jesus? I mean, there is, by the way, a rest of the story. Because before you know it, Jesus is going to turn the tables again, and He's going to start talking about forgiveness. He's going to bring up, once again, John by the river, and then where all this stuff comes from and what it's all about. And then Jesus invites us, as the listeners to this story, and Mark invites us as the readers of this story to discover something for ourselves. So dare we discover the rest of the story, not of the fig tree and of the temple, but ultimately what this story is really about. It's about the ultimate authority of Jesus, where we stake our very lives. It's always tempting when we read a big chapter like Mark 11 to say, what is this saying about us? When what Mark 11 is doing is telling us a story about Jesus. And it doesn't give all the answers. And like Mark, in most of the other stories, sometimes it leaves us amazed, but that's about it. But then comes all these things like faith and forgiveness Baptism that proclaims Jesus, the Son of God. So, the word of the Lord from Mark 11, right after Peter looks at the fig tree and says, "Did you notice that fig tree that you cursed? And what happened?" Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." Again, they came to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you a question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say of human origin?" They were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." The temptation. "So you mean, if I just get this whole prayer thing right, that I can move a mountain?" Or, this is a story about Jesus, who, when standing at the physical temple, we already know as the people in the story that Jesus is the real temple of God, and he's making us into the temple of God. And then we stand at the fig tree and we think, "Could I do that?" And the story of Mark continues to tell us, this is about Jesus. Jesus has the power even over the natural order of things. So put your trust in Jesus, because he is trustworthy. And then we stand at the mountain. And don't forget that Jerusalem itself is on a mountain. I mean, Mark is doing this on purpose. And it's tempting to look at it and say, "Well, if I prayed just right, could I really move this mountain?" And what Mark is doing is that he is saying, that's not what really is going on in this story. Instead, Jesus is the one that is dependable in all of these things. Put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith in Jesus. Because if you put your faith in Jesus, you're not going to have to worry about fig trees or temples or mountains, blindness, or even death. Because it's this late in the story, we already know. And we already live by the ultimate, gracious, good authority of Jesus. And there's still more to come. Amen.